Welcome to the Pararescue Problem Solving Podcast. I'm your host, Whiskey Tango, and I'm excited to be here with you guys today. We are talking Problem Solving 101. Specifically, we're going to look at three basic questions to ask yourself when you're trying to orient to a problem. I'm excited to be here. Let's get started. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly where everybody's at in their problem solving journey or how much you guys have studied it. I will tell you that I've been very fortunate to have about 6 years teaching military problem solving processes, specifically looking at the joint planning processes, the military decision making processes. The Air Force has also taught me design thinking and the 8-step problem solving. So very versed in problem-solving language from a usage standpoint, getting teams ready to go out the door to Afghanistan and Iraq. So not only really just the theory of problem-solving, but also the execution in preparation for deployment, but also the execution of real-time problem-solving, you know, getting somebody out of a bad situation that's a rescue situation, whether that be extrication, aircraft crash, avalanche rescue, any sort of technical rescue type problem. I mean, that's all real-time problem solving. So theory as well as practical application usage in combat and, you know, back in garrison and training and all that stuff. So some common issues that I've seen surrounding problem solving, probably the most common that I've seen while instructing at the schoolhouse or that I've done myself, is that people will get handed a problem or they'll have this issue and they will jump straight into coming up with a solution as fast as possible. And what this does oftentimes is it makes them start moving in a direction that doesn't make sense. They'll just kind of feel this need to start moving, and then they'll start moving, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, 30 paces in the wrong direction. So that's probably the most common thing that I see that people do when being handed a problem to solve. Another common thing that I've seen is not knowing where to start. You know, they have this big problem that gets handed to them. They feel like this elephant is sitting on their face, and they're just not exactly sure where to take a bite. They don't know how to orient to this massive problem that they've been handed. Another thing is having a lack of direction. So they get handed this problem, maybe from their boss or maybe from their boss's boss or CEO or, you know, in my case, oftentimes a commander, but they just don't have a lack of direction surrounding the problem. So they're just not sure exactly where they're supposed to go in that. And maybe they're not even resourced to effectively get after. But today I want to give you guys three tips that kind of helps cut through that noise, cuts through the issues when it comes to problem solving. But first, I want to tell a quick short story about the coldest that I've ever been. So it's 2006. I've just sort of got out of the pararescue pipeline and I've arrived at my first team. And I get to do my first trip with the team, and it is a cold weather trip. And a cold weather trip is where you learn avalanche rescue, and you do ice climbing and skiing, and you basically learn ropes rescue, but in this, you know, mountainous cold weather type environment, so that you can go and, you know, rescue a pilot or a downed, you know, air crew member, sort of in this alpine type terrain. And so we went to North Conway, New Hampshire. Now, you wouldn't think of New Hampshire as sort of this rugged, mountainous type terrain, but it actually hosts one of the most heinous environments, in my opinion, or from what I understand, which is the Presidential Mountain Range, which has Mount Washington. Now, Mount Washington is roughly like a 6,000 foot peak. I think it's like 6,200 roughly feet in elevation, which is not high at all for a mountain range. But what is kind of crazy about Mount Washington is that all of these North Atlantic storms come in and sort of bash into the mountain. So it has this uninhibited view from this crazy Atlantic storms, which gives it the most, some of the most heinous temperature swings and storms and coldest temperatures recorded on Earth, which is pretty crazy. You know, so at the end of this cold weather training that I was doing with my team, we decide basically as a culmination exercise, you know, we've done the ice climbing, we've done the skiing, we've done, you know, avalanche rescue and analyzing snowpacks. You know, of course, I'm this young guy. It's 2006. So I'm learning all these things for the first time, you know, but we decide our instructors decide that we're going to summit Mount Washington, you know? And so in order to summit Mount Washington, basically we went up, you know, towards the peak of Mount Washington, but we're going to stay basically at a lower peak, a lower altitude, and then summit in the morning. So we walk up to, you know, the Presidential Mountain Range. We walk up to Mount Monroe, which is, you know, sort of right underneath Mount Washington. And we basically build snow caves for the night, you know. So we have these two amazing instructors, Kurt and Lon, and they sort of talk us through, like, all right, here's how you build a snow cave. They give us a demonstration, you know, digging into the side of a snowbank. And then they're like, okay, now that you know exactly how to do it, you guys are going to buddy up. You're going to build snow caves. You're going to basically bed down for the night. And in the morning, we'll summit Mount Washington and, you know, kind of watch the sunrise. And it'll be a nice culmination exercise. So everybody's kind of pumped about that. So I buddy up with my partner, Adam. And Adam and I basically go to town. We find our little snowbank and, you know, we start digging in, you know, tunneling in to try and make it as best we could, you know, just like the instructors had showed us. It was probably a couple hours of digging, trying to dig out a tunnel. And I'll tell you, we built pretty much the crappiest snow cave that you can imagine. I mean, it wasn't exactly collapsing, but it felt close. And it was enough to standard that we could crawl inside and sort of make a bench, but it felt like right on the edge of collapsing. Now, the benefit of building a snow cave is that no matter what the conditions are, outside your snow cave, the snow cave is supposed to stay at roughly 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, Adam and I built this crappy snow cave, you know, parts of it, you know, we were kind of shoring up and repacking the ceilings and stuff like that, but it was enough for us to kind of both fit in. So we, you know, kind of bunked up, we built our shelves, you know, for our sleeping area. We kind of built shelves for our sleeping packs, and you know, I kind of felt like Luke Skywalker or something in this, you know, hut on Dagobah. I'm trying to cook my food and I'm cramped, and, you know, the ceiling's kind of low on you. And, you know, Adam and I had a good time. We were kind of laughing about it. And, you know, as we try to, you know, cook food on a jet boil and just look at our kind of terrible circumstances. So after, you know, cooking food, we're bending down. We're planning on waking up and getting up and, you know, summiting Mount Washington. And I, you know, laid on my bed, got my sleeping bag out, you know, I crawled into it, and I feel like I'm just, you know, the snow is just melting on my face, you know, dripping on me, and my sleeping bag feels, you know, wet, and I just feel like I've done it all wrong, right? I'm not sleeping through the night at all. I'm not sleeping at all. I'm just shivering, you know, and being cold and trying to get some rack so I can be prepared for the next day's event. And I would say about, you know, 4 or 5 hours into this ordeal at probably like 3 in the morning, you know, we kind of have this apparition come to our snow cave, and it's one of our mountain guides, Kurt. And so let me just kind of explain something to you about our mountain guides. So our mountain guides were these pro civilian climbers that have done, you know, all these crazy summits and basically been mountain guides for, you know, rich people doing expeditions, and they're just like these complete experts, you know, but older gentlemen. So Kurt was one of them. He, you know, he had an accent, you know, he's a white skinny guy with glasses, super kind and nice, but just extremely knowledgeable, extremely competent. And he comes into our snow cave at, you know, 3 in the morning, and he's just dusted. I mean, he is covered in snow. He looks like he's just, you know, having a terrible time. He's got a headlamp on his forehead. And he kind of comes in and he's like, oh, hey guys, how's it coming in here? you know, how are you guys sleeping? And I'm like, you know, we're both kind of just, you know, groggy and none of us haven't slept. And he's like, you know, this kind of continues on without, you know, waiting for our responses. And he's like, oh, hey, so it's real bad out there. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've been walking around for 45 minutes or so, looking for you guys' snow cave, and it's really bad condition. So what I need from you guys is to just pack up, you know, and get your stuff ready, and you're going to meet us on the ridge that we came in on, and we just really need to get out of the mountain right now. You know, and we'll feel like I'm, you know, talking to the ghost of Christmas present. There's this bright light in my face. And then he just kind of turns and crawls back out of our snow cave. Adam and I kind of look at each other confused, you know, and we start packing up, you know, and we're like, okay, you know, I guess it's bad. You know, it doesn't seem bad to us, you know, kind of in our little makeshift crummy shelter, you know, but we pack up as best we can and sort of get ready to go. And then we crawl outside, and I will tell you, it was just insane. You know, the calamity as I sort of stepped out of the mouth of the snow cave, it was this negative 50. So it had dropped to negative 50. The wind's gusting at, you know, 40 miles an hour. I felt like my eyeballs were going to freeze in my sockets and my lungs were going to freeze. You know, I'm scrambling to kind of like, you know, get on my heavy mitts and, you know, my watch cap and, you know, throw my, you know, goggles on my face so my eyeballs don't freeze or something. And I can't see anything. I mean, it's just whiteout conditions. And I felt this, I can still remember this. I felt this animal instinct, just come over me that just was like, if I do not leave this mountain right now, I'm going to die. Like, I'm just in this unsustainable environment, and I wanted to just run in a direction, but you know, we're on top of a mountain, I might run off a cliff. And luckily we found a handrail, you know, Adam and I did, you know, kind of clinging to each other and got to a ridge and ended up linking up with our team. But I guess why I tell you this story and what I really wanted to highlight is what we've all felt within our organizations when we get handed a problem that feels too big for us. We get that feeling of lostness. We get that feeling of wanting to run in a direction, and we're not really sure where to go. But we know that if we just stay where we're at, that it's terrible, right? Maybe we want to crawl back into our cave. Maybe we want to just seek shelter. But we've all felt that feeling of being lost and not knowing what to do or where to go. So I tell you, I've learned a ton throughout my career of trying to help orient myself to very confusing situations that I continually seem to find myself in, whether those are timely, you know, like high risk situations or whether or not I have a ton of time. So I really do believe in these three tips that I got for you guys today. I tried to break them down as simply as possible, but we're going to address these three W's to get out of a bad situation. And you guys know, or guys and girls know, as leaders in an organization, it's just so easy to lose our way. It's easy to get lost in these snowstorms of life. And as decision makers, it's really important that we make the best decisions with the best information that we can as we face down these problems of not being sure where to start. Okay, so that's enough lead in. Let's get into the three W's. Number one W, where are we? That is the first question you should be asking yourself. So kind of like I said, like, you know, I'm on this mountaintop with my story. I don't really know where I'm at. I have a general understanding of where I'm at. But before you run off some sort of a cliff in solving some problems, you have to start by knowing where you're at as an organization. So you can conduct data analysis. You can look at metrics. You can ask yourself, you know, what problem am I actually trying to solve? You know, what is the problem really? Think of this process as you turn on a GPS. Most of us have used like Google Maps or iMaps, or maybe you've used like a GPS device to try and geolocate exactly where you're at. But most of the time there's this blue ring, right? And so like you're on Zillow or something, right? Some sort of a map finding device. You have this giant blue ring that's trying to determine your position. And basically you're cell phone or whatever device you're using to locate your position starts searching for satellites. So they're trying to geolocate your position, and that large blue ring starts to shrink and shrink and shrink until you become this single blue dot. So that's what this question tries to get at. It tries to make you this blue dot so you can say, I know exactly where I'm at. So how do you do that? You do that by asking good questions, conducting data analysis, and figuring out what problem it is that you are trying to solve exactly. What does information surrounding that problem look like? What is the terrain, you know, the metaphorical terrain surrounding your situation look like? So that is question number one. You want to ask yourself, ask your team, where is it exactly that we're at? What situation are we in? So question number one to ask, where are we at? Question number two is, what have we learned? So you want to try and figure out, what have you learned? Like, what paths have you taken to get to this point, right? So now you have this problem, and you're stuck in this snowstorm, or you have this issue that your boss is handing you. But what have you learned up to this point? What paths have you taken to get here so you can help better orient yourself to where you're at? So a good way to do this is to, you know, you can conduct research on historical ways that this problem may have been solved. You can talk about your company's or your personal lessons learned, you know, surrounding the problem. And don't let your organization's mistakes repeat themselves. Most of us have seen, you know, sort of this, oh, well, we tried this before, so we're going to try the same solution, but we know that it doesn't work, but maybe this time it'll be slightly different. No, try something else, right? So what have you learned, and how are you orienting yourself and your organization and your team differently based on what you've learned? So figure out the roads you've taken to get there, you know, and hopefully you're conducting regular reporting and sharing best practices going into this moment of problem solving. You know, so we want to promote a culture in our organization that embraces sort of learning from its mistakes. So we can say, what have we learned to get to this? And this contextual information should, you know, basically start informing you to the next question. But question number two is, what have we learned? Question number three is, where are we going? So arguably, I feel like all the questions are important, but this one is super important. You know, where are we going? Where are we going as an organization? What does success look like now that we understand sort of the problem and the information surrounding the problem? Now we have to define, from our current state, where do we want to get to? What is our end state? What does success look like to us? We want to visualize these potential solutions to the situation. We want to decide and describe success and where we're going before we figure out how we're going to do it, right? So like I said in the beginning, everybody wants to determine, hey, let me figure out how I'm going to do it. Let me figure out how I'm going to do it. No, stop. Where are you trying to go? Like, you know, for us in the story that I gave you, you know, we were told to go to the ridge so we could link up. It wasn't necessarily the parking lot in the car. Maybe that's eventually where I want to go. But our first objective is to get to the ridge so I can link up and navigate ourselves down out of this, you know, terrible situation, this terrible problem that we're in. So where are you trying to go is very critical to decide before you're trying to come up with solutions, you know, how you're going to get there. So that's really the next question. We're not going to get into that in this podcast, but where are you trying to go? What does success look like in terms of the problem that you're trying to solve? Quick review of what we've discussed today. So today we looked at problem solving 101. Specifically, we looked at, how do you get started? It's really, I would say it's the most important part of any problem solving, is how you approach the beginning of it. Because how you approach and plan in the beginning will set you up for success for where you're trying to go. And really the most difficult part of problem solving and a lot of things in life is really just that starting piece. So we talked about three questions to ask, three W questions to ask to sort of get after how to orient yourself to a problem, how to orient yourself to a difficult situation. So these questions were, number one, where are we at? As an organization, Before you run off any leadership cliffs, you have to start by looking at the problem that you're trying to solve. You have to start looking at the organization's current situation, fiscal fundings, data, information surrounding the problem, right? You're turning on that GPS, you're acquiring that data so you can find your blue dot as an organization to say, where exactly are we at? So that's question number one. Question number two, what have we learned? What is the information that you have coming to this point? What are the roads that your organization has taken to get there? And question number three, where are we going? What does the future state look like? So those are the three W's. I hope you guys have learned something today. I'm excited to give this information to you guys. I hope you guys find it helpful and interesting. You guys, if you need more information or you want show notes, or maybe you want to discuss this information with your team, there's some good coaching, team building activities that I have for you guys on my blog. My blog is, you know, www.whiskeytangopj.com. Go check it out. Go get some information. And if you guys want to read the short story, please feel free. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to me today. Thanks for sharing part of your day with me. And I hope you guys have a great one and get after your problem solving needs. Thank you.